Turn with me to the 8th chapter of the book of the Acts. Acts chapter 8. And we are reading at the verse 13. And we are hearing here about a man called Simon, who was a sorcerer and devil-possessed. And he believed also, he professed to believe also with those that had been baptized by Philip. Then Simon himself, verse 13 of the 8th chapter of the book of the Acts, then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they had were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw, through the laying on of hands of the apostles, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that in whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem, and preached the gospel in the many villages of the Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, go towards the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, with Candaces, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran hither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I understand? Except some man come should guide me. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet? This of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And they went on their way. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch says, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they had come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way, rejoicing. And Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, preached in all the cities, till he came to Caesarea. The end of our reading at verse 40, and God will stamp the reading of his very own infallible book. This is a great story because it's the best explanation and exposition of how we should do our work for Jesus Christ. This man, of course, Philip, was not the Apostle Philip. He was rather a deacon in the church at Jerusalem, and you'll find about his election in the early chapters of this book. But he was an evangelist. The interesting thing about the evangelist gift was that it was gifted to all people, even those who had other tasks and other gifts. The apostles wrote and they said to all the people, do the work of an evangelist. God has ordained every child of his to be an evangelist. He may be a minister, but he ought to be an evangelist in his ministry. He may be an elder of the church, but he ought to be an evangelist as an elder in the church. He may be a member of the church committee, but he ought to be an evangelist. He may be a Sabbath school teacher. He may be a missionary, but he ought to be an evangelist. And if you read in Timothy, 2 Timothy, you'll find that Paul said to Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. I was thinking today, what was an evangelist? What was his duties? What did he do? And what was the task appointed him to do? Well, first of all, he was given a job that there was no end to. He couldn't say when he went home, I'm an evangelist, my work's done. You're always on duty for the Lord. And the most interesting people who did the greatest things for Christ in the church were born in the most particular and peculiar ways. Some of them were born in very strange ways because of some terrible accident that they escaped death from. And they were suddenly arrested and faced with the call of the gospel. And God always has one of his people there to show them the way. And here was this man, and he was a great man. He was the chancellor of the exchequer for Ethiopia. And it was one of the richest countries in Africa at that time, and for a very long time, stretching back to the time of the reign of Solomon. Ethiopia was a rich and wonderful country. And here was the chancellor of the exchequers. But you know what he was? He was a poor man. He was the poorest man riding the track that day in his chariot. Oh, he had a chariot and he had money and a lot of things, but he hadn't Christ. And he was having the Bible read. And as the reader read it, the Lord said to Philip, whom he had already taken out of a revival, does God take preachers out of a revival? He not only puts them into them, but he takes them out at his own time. And what some of the greatest souls that were won when some great revivalist were sent by God to awaken them. And we have it here in this wonderful story of Philip. And Philip was told by the Lord to get out of Samaria and to go down the road near the way to Africa. And when Philip was going along this chariot past him, and there was a man there, this great moneyed man of Ethiopia, and they were reading the Bible to him in the epistle, in the prophecy of Isaiah. And the Lord said to Philip, he said, go you and get on that chariot. Now Philip didn't say, how could I do that, Lord? How could I do that? That man is a wealthy man. Look at these soldiers that are all around him, guarding him. Look at this beautiful chariot. No. But you know what Philip did? He ran to do what God told him to do. The best Christian is a Christian that runs to do the commandments of God. God tells us to read our Bibles. Do you run to read them? Or do you put on the television and listen to some nonsense of a couple of fools going on like fools, acting like fools, talking like fools, and advocating foolish things? How many of us run to do the will of God? There's some Christians, they have very bad legs and the very bad muscles in their legs. And when you say go and do something, if you saw them, you'd think they were been asked to go and pay for their funeral before it took part. Now let me tell you tonight, we have to run to do the work of God. And he ran. And he did a very ignorant thing while the man was reading the Bible. He listened to them and then he said to the man, he asked the questions. He didn't let the man ask him the question. He started the questioning. He was in control. Never surrender. Always be in control with the help and the power of the Lord. And what happened? He said to the man, understandest thou what thou readest? That was a very cheeky thing to say, wasn't it? Are you so great a fool that you don't understand what you're reading? But the man in deep humility, for he was already under conviction, what did he say? He says, how can I? I need a teacher. I need someone to explain it to me. And he brought Philip up into the chariot. And Philip took over. And he said, he opened his mouth. Look at verse 20, 35. He didn't mumble. He didn't say, my teeth are not too good. He opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. That's the only message we have. The message is Jesus. Who is Jesus? He saves his people from their sins. That's who he is. I have a Savior who's pleading in glory. And Philip led him to Christ and got him safely into heaven by the blood of the Lamb. And the man rejoiced, and he got baptized and went on his way rejoicing. And Philip was found at Sotas. How he got to Sotas, I don't know. But the people, evidently in Samaria, made an inquiry where he was. And they went and searched for him, and they found him. And Philip did not stop at Sotas. He passed through all the cities and preached and took the long journey to Caesarea, preaching in every village and every city. And there was a stream of revival fire all down the line of Philip's walk and visiting. What a story. Do the work of an evangelist. God wants you to be a witness. God wants you to be showing forth the Savior whom you love. God wants you to be spreading the gospel. God wants you to be entering into arguments with sinners about the truth of the gospel and the way to be saved. God doesn't want you to sit on the sidelines. He wants you on the front line for Himself. Do the work of an evangelist. Go and talk to people. How many people did you talk to today about Jesus? How many people did you say, are you a Christian? Do. How many did you say, do you know the Lord? Nothing like introducing the Lord. You can say everything about him and praise him, and you haven't even touched half of them or even a quarter of them. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my friend. Oh, that every Christian would become an evangelist. As an old preacher preached once a sermon, and he had 3 points in it. He says, to be an evangelist, you've got to reach the sinners. To be an evangelist, you've got to preach the Savior. To be an evangelist, you need to teach the saints. So there's your job, to go out and reach the sinners. To go out and preach the Savior, and to go out and teach the saints. May God ordain us all to be evangelists and to spread the glorious message of the gospel.